Bibles this morning and turn to 1 John. 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1, verse 1. In these passages of Scripture, the Apostle John tells us concerning the declaration of the Christian faith. Not only the declaration, but also the application. Those things that are found in God's Word must be appropriated to you individually. Christianity, salvation, the religion that we preach, the religion that we read about in the Bible, is a personal thing, it's an individual thing, it's a spiritual thing. Amen. He tells us about the message, the declaration, what they actually declared. The things that they were declaring were things that they had experienced, things they heard, things they saw, things they handled. And they were sharing this with other people. Now, the church today, these people that are gathered here that have been saved by the grace of God and had a work of grace in their hearts, they too are trying to share with others what they have heard, what they have seen with their eyes, and what they have handled. The first verse of this first chapter of 1 John is a verse that has become very special to me. It's very special because several years ago I studied the Greek language and it went through and translated a few books of the Bible and a few chapters and a few verses. And this particular verse became very special to me when I began to study about the Greek wording and Greek verbs and things of that nature. How that an aorist verb has a point of beginning, but it continues to, it's saying that it continues to happen. It may have a point of beginning, but you continue to experience it. And that's the kind of verbiage that's used in this first verse of 1 John chapter 1. Now, I realize that in the translation, a little of that is missing. It's not there. We don't have that kind of pars verb in our language. And so that's what makes the Greek language so much superior to the English language. And I know you're all going, what in the world is he talking about? Well, let me give you my translation of this as I go through here, as I read it in the King James. He says, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, we still hear. Point of beginning, we heard it. But John is saying, we still hear it. Which we have seen with our eyes, but we still see it. We see not the things that are temporal, but the things that are eternal. Not the things that are physical, but the things that are spiritual. Those things we have saw, we still see. Which we have looked upon and our hands have handled, and we're still handling the word of life. For that life was manifested that we and we have seen it and bear witness. In other words, we've seen it, we still see it, and we're bearing witness of it. I mentioned a little earlier that a lighthouse doesn't sound a drum. We don't beat on a gong. We don't use something like that to get people's attention. Well, I tell you today, a lot of churches are using the wrong thing to try to get the attention of a lost world. What we need is the light of God. And John said, the things that we have seen, the things we have heard, the things we have handled, the word of life, that which was manifested to us, we've seen it, we're bear witnessing of it, and we're showing you the eternal life that is in God that's been manifested to us, that which we have seen and heard, we declare to you that ye also may have fellowship. What's he saying? He says, the things we've experienced, we need for you to experience. We want you to experience the fellowship that we have with God, the light that we see, the things that we hear, the things that we handle. We want you involved in that. We want you to experience that for yourself. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you that your joy may be full. There must be an application of these things. You must know them for yourself. You must experience them for yourself. I believe it was the psalmist who said, God, be not silent to me, lest I be like those that go down into the pit. God's people still hear the voice of God. Jesus in the 10th chapter of John, my sheep hear my voice. Amen. That still small voice of God still speaks to our soul. We hear Him. We hear from Him from His Word. Amen. There are times when we're reading God's Word and it convicts us. The Holy Spirit lays hold upon our soul and we know those passages are being applied to us, are for us, and we need to conform our lives to it. We hear from God. We hear from God through His Word. We hear Him through His Spirit. Amen. And the Holy Spirit never goes contrary to His written Word. I don't care how much you've prayed about it. I don't care what voice you've heard. If God says something in His Word, that is truth without any mixture of error for its matter. And everything that we feel, everything that we hear, everything that we may sense, it needs to be explored and it needs to correspond with God's holy Word. Amen. The light of the glorious gospel. That which we have heard, that which we have seen with our eyes. Oh, there's been times in my life that I look not upon the things that are seen, but the things that are unseen. I see those things that are eternal, those things that are spiritual. I sense the presence of God and the power of God. I can see beyond the temporal and into the eternal. There are times that we sense the wings of angels about us. Amen. There are times we sense the power of God and the strength of God. Though I've not seen it with my natural arm, I've felt the arms of God wrapped around me. Amen. Yes. There are things that God's people see, and we're handling the Word of life. I'm telling you, there's life in Jesus Christ. We're handling spiritual things. We're handling eternal things. Those things that I speak into you this day, they are life and death. Not natural life, but eternal life and eternal death. Moses said in the 30th chapter of Deuteronomy, he said, I set before you life and death, cursing and blessing. Choose life that you and your family might live. Listen, this light that he was talking about, this joy, this application that he was talking about, the proclamation that he was declaring, the things that he says in verse 3 that we have heard, those things we have experienced for ourselves, we're declaring unto you. I know exactly how you feel if you've never been saved. I know exactly how you feel if you're under conviction. I know exactly how you feel to be enchained in sin. Amen. Every one of us here that has been saved by the grace of God, we know how it feels to be in darkness. We felt the darkness of Egypt, how dark it was. Well, we felt it just like they did. That plague of darkness, the Bible says they felt, and we also feel the darkness. There are times in our lives where we've drifted back into darkness, but God gets a hold of us and shines the light for us. And when we walk in the light as He is in the light. The blood of Jesus cleanses us from all unrighteousness. Well, let me read this whole passage. All right. The application. I'm getting a little excited. Sometimes I do that. I'll prepare a message, you know, and I've got all this thing all worked out in my mind, and man, it just gets a hold of my heart. and I lose sight sometimes of some of the things that may better articulate what needs to be said. But I'm telling you, this thing's real. Salvation is real. Jesus is real. His Spirit is real. The handling of God's Word, the handling of the Word of life is real. It lays hold upon us. It will alter you. It will change you. It's the joy and the fullness of joy that you need to apply to your life. If you're not walking in the light as He is in the light, you need to come out of that darkness and come to the Lord. Lord Jesus Christ, believe in Him and He will save your soul. Wow. There are a lot of people today that don't have the privilege that you have. A little boy that lived in a bad section of town in a big city attended Sunday school, and she was using that passage like I used last Sunday from John 8 and 12, where Jesus said, I'm the light of the world. And he said, teacher, he said, if Jesus is the light of the world, I wish he'd hang out in our back alley because it's awful dark there. Well, listen, Jesus wants to hang out in your family and in your home and in your backyard, amen, in your neighborhood. Yes, he wants to be the light to this community. And we are the reflection of Jesus Christ, the city that sitteth on a hill that cannot be hid. We need to be shaken. We need to be a salt and light. Amen. Salt shaken and light illuminating. A kind of church where people know that those people over there on Main Street called Victory Missionary Baptist Church know the Lord, walk with the Lord. They have the light of God around them, on them, working through them. Praise God. This thing is real. We hear Him. We see Him. We handle Him. These are eternal things. These are spiritual things. And praise God, I'm right smack dab in the middle of it. I'd rather be here than any place in the whole world. The White House doesn't hold any kind of light to me in comparison to the light in the church of Jesus Christ. Nor power, amen, nor authority. There's not only authorization, and there's a proclamation, there's an application, there's healing in this declaration. I listen to what he says here. He says, these things I write to you. Verse 5, he says, that you might have your joy full. He says, this then is the message which we, notice here, this then is the message which we have heard of him. Okay, there was a hearing. And he says, and declare unto you. There's a declaring. What were they hearing when they walked with Jesus? What do they hear? What is the summary? What is the substance, the main substance of all that John heard in his 3.5 years of walking with Jesus, of hearing his teachings, of being with him? This is what we heard. And this is what we declare. God is light. You might say, preacher, didn't you preach on that last Sunday? Yeah, I did. Preaching it again. I told a preacher friend of mine that I preached on the 8th chapter of John. I told him that many times I preached from verse 12 about Jesus being the light of the world. But I told him, I said, the older I get, I don't know what it is. And he said, I'll tell you exactly what it is. I said, what? I told him, the older I get, the more these simple phrases of the New Testament grip me. I mean, when I first started preaching 25 years ago, I preached on Jesus being the light of the world. I believed it. It was in the Bible. But after 25 years, I've walked in that light. And I'm telling you, He is the light of the world because I've experienced it. I know it. I've felt it. He's been there illuminating my path. He's been guiding me and leading me and showing me the way. Praise God for His wisdom and the light that He gives us when we need it. We go through trials and troubles. We go through the valley of the shadow of death. I'm telling you, the light of Jesus that shines in heaven and shines on the earth, even shines in those valleys where there's the shadow of death. And we fear no evil. He's been there to help us. Amen. He lights our path. I told him Wednesday night, I'm going to tell y'all this too. I'm more convinced of this now than any other time of my life. That Christians and the Christian church needs a new revelation from God. Where they realize that God is smarter than them. I heard about a guy, you know, most of y'all know I used to work in industry and used to build special machines. And they had built this special machine that couldn't get it to work. And, you know, something like a place where Dale works. And they called them up and said, look, there's something wrong with this thing. And they said, well, there's no warranty on it, but we'll be glad to send out one of our guys to fix it. And so they sent this guy out there who was an expert at not only building machines, but doing maintenance and working on machines. And he went out and he looked that machine over 2 or 3 times. And he went to his bag and he pulled out a hammer and he felt on the side of that machine and he said, pop! Man, that machine started up and it just ran just as smooth as it had ever ran. The guy wrote up a bill, handed it to the supervisor and took it to the owner and it's for $100. owner was, he said, $100? $100, he says, I want an itemized bill for this that you just did on this machine. I heard all you did was hit on it. And so the guy wrote up a bill and he said, $1 for the hammer, $99 to know where to hit it. Man, you can beat on your life. The point is this. You can work in areas of your life and you'll just spin your wheels and won't go anywhere. Man, you can get direction from God and hit her just one time, man. And she turns over and I'll tell you, your life just flows so smoothly and the power of God and the strength of God just floods your life. I believe Jesus summed it up. He told us where to hit it. He said there in the 12th verse of the 8th chapter of John, he said, I am the light of the world. He that follows me shall never be in darkness. Amen. Y'all believe that? Amen. He that follows me, I'll tell you where you need to, what kind of moves or where you need to hit. Like that man hit that machine, you need to follow Jesus. And if you will just make some attempt to follow the Lord, light will come into your life. He blesses, and I'm going to say this again. I hope we grasp this time. The feeblest tottering totes toward a following Jesus brings light into our life. Baby steps. Listen, if you'll just... Let me ask you this. Why do some people get saved when they step out in the aisle? Y'all heard those testimonies? A sincere attempt to just... to just walk in the footsteps of Jesus, your life will be showered with light. Are you with me? I found it to be so. I guess that's why these passages of Scripture, these phrases, I realize the phrase that Jesus used here in the 12th verse of the 8th chapter of John, where he says, I'm the light of the world, is similar to that he's the bread of life. Amen? He's the fountain of life. There's similar similitudes or phrases that... tell us or share with us some aspect of Christ. He was telling us that if we will follow Him, we will never be in darkness. And He told us also, look there in the 12th verse of the 8th chapter of John, and He says, He shall have the light of life. We need the light of life. And I realize there's thousands of billions of things that this means. But John was telling us, in John chapter 1, that the message is that God is light. And in Him is no darkness at all. What does that mean? Well, if you're walking in the light, as He is in the light, we'll know that you're in the light. Let's read what He says. Verse 5, this is the message which we have heard of Him and declare unto you, that God is light and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, what happens? What's the automatic result of this? If you're walking in the light as Jesus is the light of the world, if you're following Him, if you're walking in the light as He is the light to illuminate our path, to help us, to guide us, to empower us, to strengthen us, to make us happy, full of joy. There's many things that this passage means to understand and have knowledge of an understanding of judgment, being able to discern, having an elite understanding of anthropology and theology. I realize this all begins in the spiritual realm, but it leads to a doctrinal, to the doctrinal realm. It arouses the ethical, but it always ends in the eternal. We're talking about a light, an endless duration of light, a matchless illumination of light without limitations that can shine in your heart and will shine not only in heaven for all the eons of eternity, but shines upon this earth today. And if you will come out of the darkness and step into the light, things will change. Amen. What will happen? Well, we'll have fellowship one with another. What else? The blood of Jesus. Look there. The blood of Jesus will cleanse us from every mistake. Did y'all realize that just trying to serve the Lord, a lot of your sins are forgiven? I mean, just trying to walk in the light. Have you made a comprehensive list of all of your sins and repented of them? Do you think you might have missed one? Huh? Come on now. Yeah, you miss a lot of them. But look here, just trying to serve the Lord, it's taken care of. Amen? The blood of Jesus cleanses us from all unrighteousness. Yeah. Just trying to follow Him and serve Him. Light comes in. You have fellowship with your brothers and sisters. The church ought to be founded on a genuine relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And every member must have light in their heart, or they should not and cannot be a true member of the Lord's church. Amen. You let a lot of darkness in, your church will turn into darkness. Remember what I was talking about, what Jesus said? He said, if the light be darkness, how great is that darkness? That kind of hypocrisy that comes into the church. When darkness comes into a church where there should be light, that is the greatest kind of eclipse upon the light of Jesus that there can be. People who think they're saved and are not really saved. People who try to tell others how to be saved when they have not been saved themselves. John said it wasn't that way with us. No, sirree. He says we heard it for ourselves. We saw it. We handle it. This thing's real to us. And what we have heard and what we've experienced, we declare unto you. Man, you got to have it before you can share it. Yeah. You have to know it for yourself before you can share it with others. I contend the people of God still hear the Lord. Amen. Sister Joanne, last Sunday, she heard from the Lord. Early in the morning, I guess. She knew before she got here what the Lord had in store for her about joining the church. Hey, that's all the way it should be for everybody that joins the church. You need to hear from the Lord before you join the church. Amen. Right? Lord adds to the church. We don't add to the church. I have never, if anybody accuses me of this, they're lying. I have never tried to build the church. Jesus said, I'll build my church. No, listen, the preacher needs to preach the Word of God. Preach the Word, be in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering doctrine. And I'll tell you, the time will come where people won't have ears to hear. They have itching ears. They'll have teachers that'll teach them some fluffy stuff that just gets them through some emotional crisis but doesn't get to the root of the problem. We need to hear sound doctrine, and we need to be long-suffering in the Word of God and keep preaching till the Lord comes back. Let God be true and every man a liar. Time will come, they shall not heed sound doctrine, but shall heap unto themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away from the truth and be turned to fables. Watch, therefore. Amen. Watch. And that's my job. I've been preaching and teaching about that on Wednesday night, about the pastor's responsibility to be vigilant, sober, and watchful. It's my obligation and my responsibility to be a spiritual watchman and to watch, therefore. The application of this must be internal, spiritual. This light is real, and I didn't get very far with this. But let me use another text. And this... notice what Jesus said. You know, Jesus made things so clear. Many times, He would give us encouragement or instruction. When He saw that there was a circumstance taking place in our lives or in the lives when He walked among men. John chapter 12, verse 36. Turn there with me. This light that I'm talking about will bring you through every circumstance you find yourself in. I've had times in my life where I needed help. This light has helped me. There's been times when I've been discouraged. Oh, come on now. There's been times you've been discouraged. But the light helped you through discouragement. Did Jesus help you? Many times we fail to receive the help we need because we don't believe or come to the light. There are people that find themselves in circumstances, and in this particular passage, I think it might be, and I didn't check this thoroughly, but I'm of the opinion this might be the last public statements Jesus made to people. He made statements to his disciples and stuff. He said stuff, but in a public fashion to people. He said, while you have light, believe in the light, that you may be the children of light. Jesus was telling us that when we have light, when the light of the glorious gospel is shining in our heads and in our hearts, yield to it. Believe in it. Thoroughly and definitely give in to the light that you have. It might not always be there. It may not always be there. Give in to it. He says in this passage, yield to the light, because it could be withdrawn. While ye have light, believe in it. What would happen? That you might be the children, or that you might become the children of light. You're either a child of the devil or a child of God this morning. You're either walking in the light or you're walking in darkness. You're either still in darkness, or you've been transformed and you've been delivered by the transforming of His power into this marvelous light. That's what Peter called it. A transforming through marvelous power into this wonderful light. How is it with you today? Have you heard about the light? Have you experienced it for yourself? Do you know? Do you have confidence? Have you believed in it? What a shame not to believe in Jesus Christ. When you've heard that He is the Lamb of God, when you've heard that He could redeem you, there's a lot of people that hear that Jesus saves, but they're not saved. There's a lot of people that hear that His blood atones or forgives for sin, but they have not been forgiven. Come out of the darkness. Step into the light. Listen, the Bible's not calling you to walk on the water. Just walk in the light. I know we got some. Yeah. Believe in the light. The truth. This light of the glorious gospel is a gospel of truth. You're lost. And Jesus came to save you. Amen. You're fallen. You're dead in trespasses and in sin. But Jesus died on the cross. He resurrected on the third day. He ascended to glory. He's at the right hand of the Father. He's listening and ready to make intercessions for you. And if you will come to Him, He will in no wise cast you out. Step into the light. If you're lost today, it's time for you to turn. Turn or burn. That's the way the Bible teaches it. Repent of your sins. Amen. If you don't repent, you will perish. Amen. Turn from your sins. Trust in Jesus. Come to the light. When you have light. That's what I've always tried to be. It's just light. That's what the church is to be, right? Light. We're the light of the world. Through Jesus, we reflect that light. We have Jesus in our heart, and we are to shine for Jesus. And as Jesus works in us and through us and comes out of us, people should need, they will take note to it. They'll take note to the fact that we have been with Jesus. And when you've been with Jesus, you'll shine. We're going to have a song. I'm going to invite you to come today. If you've never been saved by the grace of God, this is your day of salvation. Don't turn Him away. The truth is, you need to be born again of the Spirit. You need an application of the blood of Jesus upon your heart. You might say, well, how will I ever live the Christian life? I'll tell you how, by being in the light. Yeah. Having your heart changed, amen? Becoming a new creation in Christ Jesus. If you've not been saved today, come. Call on the Lord. Paul said this, He said that as God commanded the light to shine in the dark, out of darkness, in the fourth chapter of Corinthians, He has shined in our hearts. If you have a darkened heart today, let the light of Jesus shine in your soul. Let's stand and sing. Would you come? Is there someone here today?